Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to be back here again. See all of you. As I'm sure you guys have heard, something's happening behind me. As I'm sure you guys have heard, the news about what's happening with us. We have spent 7 years in Ukraine, and we have felt the call to leave. And so today I'd love to share with you how we've come to this realization, how we've spent our last 7 years, and what's possibly next for us. So I guess I'll start off with how we came to this realization. And so last time I shared with you was a year ago, and we had just finished our sixth year. And just starting into our seventh year, we had come to the realization that, well, God, we want you to do something new. We said this is the seventh year, and that is a good biblical number. It's the number of completion, and it represents a lot of things in the Bible. We said, God, one thing we know about the number seven in the Bible is it is often used as a Sabbath. And the Sabbath is often a time of rest, but we said, God, we don't know what you would have our Sabbath look like as far as a year goes. So we're going to keep going. And we're going to ask you, God, to do what you want with us this year. If there's a big change coming, or if there's just a slight shift, whatever it be, God, we're ready for it. So that's how we started our year a year ago. And it was very quickly realized how we didn't stop or turn off or say we're shutting down or leave a lot of things behind. But we said, we saw how God was removing things that we were doing from our activities. Different places that we had been connected before started to fall away, and even some of the friendships and relationships we had were moving on. And I would emphasize that there was nothing, no bad blood, nothing was happening that was starting to be, you know, well, we're getting angry about this place, or we're getting grumpy, we just got to go. That wasn't happening. It was just more of what we saw in this year was that things were getting quiet. And we said, well, that seems kind of like what we know about Sabbath, but we didn't try to do this. We didn't try to shut everything down. And so the thing that we focused, that I was able to focus on mostly this year, was the relationships that we had built over the last few years, and spending quality time with the young men that that I was able to be mentoring. And so that was just wonderful and great. But we saw God, like I said, sort of quieting things and removing things, and we started to ask God, why would that be? What's going to happen here? What would you have for us? Is it just a year of being a little slower, and that we have to, we're preparing for the next one in Ukraine, we're going to be in Ukraine, and things are going to be busy, and we don't know what's coming, but we'll trust you. And it was about halfway through the year that my cousin passed away, and I came back here to Canada for a week, and was with some family, and all of a sudden I heard God speaking and saying, you know, maybe it's time to come back. And so I returned to Ukraine. Joanne and the kids weren't able to come with me here. So I returned to Ukraine, and I told Joanne what I was thinking and praying about, and that meant that we had to be thinking and praying about this together and saying, God, what would that look like? And so it's been a process for the second half of the year that we were saying, God, what would it look like to leave Ukraine, and where would we be next? One of the toughest things that happens in that moment for me is sort of challenging, I think God challenging me, how I felt God, the way that God moves. I felt very strongly that God would always say, you're doing something good here, continue it, and if I give you something else, if I give you the next step, go and do that with all your heart and serve God strongly there. But until I hear that next call, until I know where that next step is, don't leave. That's how I felt. I felt very strongly about that through a lot of teachings and things I've heard in the past years, and reading my Bible and saying, you know, be a man of commitment. Do everything you do with all your heart, and stay there until you know the next thing you got to do. But then I felt God saying, not this time. This time, you need to trust me. This time, you need to go, even though you don't know what's coming. And that has been and continues to be very difficult for me. I love to make plans. I love to know what's next. I love to say, God, here we go. I'm leaving this and I'm going to that. And I will continue to serve and work hard for you. But you guys are probably very familiar with Proverbs verses chapter 3. Verse 5 in particular, but I'm going to read verse 1 through 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humankind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I have that. I have verses, in Ukraine I had verses 5 and 6 written on a piece of paper that was hanging in my hallway, and I read it very often, and I actually repeated it very often to the young guys that I've been mentoring, and I had to remind myself of it quite often, as I think we all need to do, because we often have our own logic, we have our own way of thinking, and we have our own experience in life where we think, I just have to keep going by what I know, by what I believe should work, and well, that just makes logical sense, let's go to the next thing. And I felt God here saying, repeating these words to me, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I even have it, I don't even remember where it was given to me, but I have a little piece of paper that I use as a bookmark here, and it's in Russian. And so that's one of the only verses that I know and am able to repeat in Russian because I've read this little piece of paper so many times. So, anyone speak Russian here? Oh, please say no. Надейся на Господа всем сердцем твоим и не полагайся на разум твой. That's verse 5. I can read it at least. I usually remember it. And as I've told you guys before, we were able to speak in Russian there. It wasn't pretty, but people understood for the most part what we were saying. And I was able to understand conversations, and that happened mostly in the second half of our time in Ukraine. Of course, the first half we took classes and we did lessons and we tried to learn, and it was so tough and we felt like we were just spinning our wheels and not getting anywhere. But in the second half of our time in Ukraine, I started spending a lot more time with people who didn't speak any English, and it forces you. You must learn. And so the same thing I probably in any field, if you're trying to learn something, if you just totally immerse yourself in it, you're going to learn a lot faster, and languages especially. So I felt God speaking this verse to me very clearly, that my logic and my ideas of what was supposed to be and how I was supposed to know exactly where I was going next before I leave Ukraine was being challenged by God, and God said, no, just trust me. And that's an important lesson too. We need to trust him, right? We need to trust him in every circumstance, even when we don't know what's next or we don't know what's coming. So I'm going to share a little bit more about that and what we feel is maybe coming next. But first, I'd love to reflect on our previous 7 years there, on our 7 years and what we were there doing. As I sat, every once in a while, I just sort of flip through pictures here and there. But last night, I was flipping through these pictures that Joe so wonderfully put together for me as she collected a bunch of photos that she thought were important photos from the last 7 years. And I weeded some out to make it a little shorter for you guys. As I looked through them, it was a very awesome time for me to just be able to think back at what God's been doing. Because sometimes you look back at what you feel, how you feel you've been serving, and what you've been doing, you can't remember. You can't think of the things that were very maybe that happened, or that maybe in my opinion, sometimes there were moments where I felt like, was I being very effective? What was I doing? Was I accomplishing something here? And so when I look back on the photos, God was able to remind me of a lot of great moments that he had us involved in, that we were able to sow seeds or water seeds. I don't know So I'd love to go through some of these photos with you, and I'll go through them somewhat quickly. We just have this photo up here because this was a photo of 7 years ago. So we arrived there December 1st in Ukraine, 2012, and we got to Zaporozhye a couple days later, the city where we lived, and we were we found an apartment, and we spent our first Christmas away from our family. And so here's our beautifully huge Christmas tree here, about 2-3 feet tall maybe. And so just a photo of us here. Another photo just early on when we were, I think that was actually on our way to Ukraine. We had stopped to visit our friends in Spain and got to stand by the ocean there at the same time. So in Ukraine, we got there and starting from scratch, we arrived and didn't have much of the language at all. And I heard of a group called Young Life, which is a great group that works with youth. And I met one of my friends here in the center with the big YL on his shirt for Young Life. His name is Ruslan, and we connected early, and we were able to go and work with all kinds of youth, and I was able to work through him because these guys knew a little bit of English, and he could sort of translate for me. So I connected, and we had all kinds of groups with young guys where we were able to plug in, go doing different events and sports, and of course, that wasn't right away. That must have been the summer after. I don't think the summers that, or the winters there look that beautiful. It is slightly warmer there than here, but not that much. There's still snow in the winter. We had many events, as I've shared with you guys before, where we created something called Just Youth, which was a once-a-month church for youth that we did, where I was able to share. We always played some games, and we did some fun things, played some music, but it was important to me that every time the gospel was shared. And so that was the whole goal of our event, Just Youth, because I saw a lot of opportunity where people were coming and meeting Christians and being affected by, you know, lives, but I really wanted to make sure that they got the goods. They heard the good news. And so that was one of the events that we did, and we did that for over 4 years. Connected through many sports. We did sort of basketball camps. I don't know what's happening with my hair there, so don't look too closely. But did all kinds of things. Actually, the one gentleman here is Gary Verhoog. He's a dairy farmer here from Manitoba, actually. But he's been living there in a village called Nikolai Poli. I think I've shared with you guys about him before, him and his wife who live there. And they work with graduated orphans, mostly of disadvantage in some way, if they have some sort of a physical or mental disability, and they work with them, which is just amazing, because in Ukraine, nobody wants to go near orphans usually, let alone ones that have disabilities. And so it's really awesome to be connected with him. Just one of the early events where we connect with, this is mostly young life youth, as I said, in the first year or so. That was the biggest connection we had. So I love to do little sports camps. I think that's what we were doing here, and just took a photo after. One of the orphans that, actually a couple of the orphans guys that we got to connect through, through the church that we were there, that we served in there, was being baptized early on, and I was just so happy just to be around that event, just to help him in the water, say hi. But that was a great opportunity as well, great time. Sometimes we did our Just Youth event on the beach, so I think we've already shared photos about these type of events. Probably shared that one, but that was a fun memory of me for me, doing a survival weekend on a nearby, just outside, and that's snakes that we had taken and got a hold of and actually ate a little bit of. We tried them. Get a little fishy for me. One of the orphanages we visited, where you got to go play sports and sort of meet everybody as we connected through our church. Different camps that we did. We were every year up until this last one, we were always involved in some sort of a camp. The 1 year, this camp, I believe, was held closer to Kyiv, and we were invited by the Youth for Christ group that is in Ukraine already and still exists there. And Youth for Christ works a little more closely with a little younger kids there, so usually maybe 9 to 14. And so we helped them with their camp, doing all their sports programming that summer. Often did this. We often gathered in groups, usually small, and did types of English clubs. That was always a good draw. People were always very excited to meet us when they met us on the street, and they always said they wanted to learn English, whether they were serious about it or not. Sometimes they'd come, sometimes they wouldn't, but we were always very happy to connect with young guys and girls that way. And then it was about 3 years in when we had I had my first taste of this experience called floorball, which I shared with you guys before, which is something like a floor hockey type thing. And so we met some guys and we started playing with some teenagers and kids there. Just another time with our Just Youth and some of the youth that were coming up on stage. One of the one guy there, two guys, as they graduated from one of the church programs where they lived with a host family or parents, because these guys were graduated orphans, and then they lived about 3 years in a house with some of our friends, and we got to spend time with them every week. And so we were just celebrating with them as they graduated out of that program. And it's very exciting because they're still going 3 years later. They're still Christians, still attending church and involved in different programs and things like that.
I think there were some superheroes there.
Oh, where was that? Oh.
No, those.
Yeah, one seems especially super. And then we got a little bit of a grumpy Batman there. He doesn't do great with photos. Then at about the halfway mark of our time there is when I was able to meet these guys. We got three guys here at about 19 years old at the time, and this is the group that I met. If you remember the story, started to play a bit of sports with them, went to a couple Bible studies with them, but they spoke only Russian, and so I was really lost, but I connected with that one man who wanted to work with them, and he wanted me to come and play sports with them. And so then there was that Christmas that I was here, and he passed away in the car accident with another one of the orphans in the car with him. And so that was a really hard time and a sad time for us, but looking back, just wow, how God used that time. He built a foundation with these guys, that man, Losha. And then I asked these young guys and a few others, well, if I'm coming back to Ukraine, would you like to continue these Bible studies with me? And I said, well, I'm going to definitely have to step up my Russian and probably use a translator as much as I can. And they all agreed, and that was the start of a pretty great relationship. And so this is just us out on our friend Jessica's field, where she's building a house for orphans, and we were there probably just doing a little bit of work on a project one day, and we had a cookout, I guess. And so we've got three of my main guys here that I've been with for a long time, Stas, sort of center, Philippe standing, and Andre, the one sitting closer on the right here. Probably remember this photo. This was a very time that I was very honored to be able to baptize Stas. He gave his life to Christ. That was three summers ago, and it was a great moment, and I spent a lot of time with him for about a year and a half, and I would very much appreciate your prayers for him, because he has since then stepped away, and it's very sad for me because I've spent so much time with him, and he's still near. He's with friends, and he's with our friends that are Christians as well, but he's certainly pushed back and said that he doesn't want a lot of that. He just finds it, like a lot of young people, very hard to live a life for Christ and do the things he wants to do. And so that's where he is at right now. Still in contact with him, still praying for him. And so remember Stas in your prayers. But that was a great moment for us. Just again with these guys, a few other guys along the way. I knew this gentleman over here in the red shirt. Not Desmond, but the other guy. I knew him actually the whole time we were there. I met him very early on, and God He gave me this guy, Misha, to work with the whole time. And just another guy that I'd love to say, please pray for him, because he's been back and forth about God the whole time. He comes from an Orthodox upbringing. And so the last I spoke with him, he just wanted to follow Christ. But there were so many people around him, grandparents, parents, that would say, reading the Bible yourself is not good. He comes from this Orthodox church where the pastor, the priest, is supposed to be learning the word of God and teaching it to him. and you're not supposed to read that yourself. And so when we would read it ourselves, that would be very hard for him, and he wouldn't know. He'd be very torn as to what he had heard in the past and what we were speaking about and what we were reading. And so at this moment, right now, he is not following Christ. And so keep Misha in your prayers as well. One gentleman who was on our floorball team, he was our goalkeeper, and we were out teaching young kids in a school how to play floorball. This one, we went out for one of our activities in the park, playing floorball, but not on the floor at all, on a big soapy piece of plastic. So that was lots of fun when you go slip and slide and play hockey. And that was one of our Just Youth events, so we did it in the park that time rather than on the beach. And we were able to gather all sorts of young people to be there with us. And actually, that was a year and a half ago. So in that summer, we had a couple of Americans come and help us out for the summer for 2 months. And we were able to make some new relationships through that, which was very exciting for us, and meet new people and bring them out to this. Then there's floorball, and I played on our Zaporozhye floorball team. And so I really like this photo because, once again, the four guys or the three guys nearest me are those three guys that I've already mentioned to you. So I'm standing on the left here, and in the center is Stas. A little bit further back is Philippe, and closer on the right is Andre. And so those are my three guys, and I was always very happy to be able to play all on the same line with them. It was a great experience. Definitely some learning curves, and sometimes where you have to... I had to check myself, getting a little upset with some reffing or some other thing like that, and go, oh no, I was getting a little frustrated. I had to do some repenting there and asking for forgiveness from them. But I think in talking with some of my guys, like Andre here on the right, I know he was dealing with that a lot when I met him. He would be complaining to the refs all the time, and he'd be yelling and upset. And if he was doing it, I didn't feel the need to, so that was really nice for me. But maybe then when I did it, he didn't feel the need to. And so we learned from each other, and he told me before I left that was a great experience for him to see that sometimes you need to have some humility and apologize to the people around you, to the refs, to the other team sometimes, and say, I didn't do this right, and then ask God to help change our heart, to help change us and say, okay, yeah, I'm a Christian, yeah, I follow Christ, but I'm not perfect, I make some mistakes. And so... floorball was a big opportunity for things like that, but it was great to be with so many guys, so close to them. Here we were in Nikolai Polya. There's Gary again, and then these are all graduated orphans that are in his program. Like I said, they're all disadvantaged in some way, but they are out there with him, and with them they will learn a little bit of English. They do Bible classes. They learn how to hopefully life skills, like how to save your money and do things like that. And they work on his dairy farm. So they're working hard with him, and they continue to do their work in Ukraine. I think they're coming up or very close to 10 years there. Here we are with our friend Jessica and a bunch of friends who, as I said, she's building a home there. She wants to build a home there for these orphans, but if you can keep her in your prayers as well, there's a lot of bureaucracy in Ukraine. And how it's supposed to work there is if you want documents to go build something, you need to go and apply for them. But those documents don't usually get given out until hands get greased. And so things are very slowly moving. And every once in a while, something goes through. And we praise God and say, thank you for getting it through, because no hand got greased here, as she's done it the right way. Even Christians around her are saying, well, you got to move it along. Either you do it without the documents and you go... grease a hand later because you did it the wrong way, or you grease it now and get through the process so you can get the house built faster. And she has made the bold decision to not do that and do it the correct way and trust that God is going to help those processes and that he's going to be there and make it move along. And we've seen many ways how God has already, but it's still slow, and she's not able to build her house yet. She's got land, she's got a fence, she's got a well, she's got electricity, everything's ready to that point, which took a lot of work and a lot of time. And now she wants to build the house, but things have to be approved and say, yes, we allow it. And so that's where she's at right now. So a lot of times where we got to meet new people on the streets and the guys from my floorball team, and often we just meet people on the street doing this. They'd walk by and go, well, hockey's not very popular in Ukraine these days. And so they come along here and go, what is this? And people would want to have their kids play or try themselves. And so we'd meet a lot of people on the streets like that, which was fun. We got to play in tournaments all across Ukraine. I think both of these photos were from in our city, Zaporozhye. But it was really wonderful to travel with my guys. It was always a great opportunity to really share about our faith and not only with my close three guys, but with our whole team and sometimes with guys from other teams. People would always be very interested. I was the only Canadian in a Ukrainian league and actually probably the only international person playing there. So they were always very excited when they'd be confused. They'd go, what's this guy saying? Why is this Russian so sloppy? What's going happening? And then they'd figure it out and they go, and sometimes people would come over to me during the game or after the game and come to make friends. And so it was a really cool opportunity to do that. Sometimes you're in a heated moment and somebody starts saying something to you and they're grumpy about it, and I say something and then they go, wait a second, what's wrong with this guy? And they go, oh, and then they all of a sudden they become happy and they want to talk with me, and we're half talking in the middle of a game and then a goal gets scored and oh, they distracted me. Oops, let's get past one of our meetings, which we did pretty much every week the whole time that we were there. We met with our graduated orphan guys, and at first it started off as a supper club. We'd eat together, we'd play some games together, and we'd always read the Word of God and share about that. And in the end, we weren't having supper with them anymore, but we were still having cookies and coffee and everything, and still just talking, reading the gospel and sharing it with these guys. Some of them had been there for years and years and years, and some of them had just come now and again. But it was always a fantastic opportunity, one that I'm really missing now, because it was something that stayed stable right until the end. And so I do my best to continue those all those relationships by just via the internet and calling them and going that way. But I believe that that meeting will still continue with some other friends, like our friend Jessica there, the one really standing out in pink. As you see, they really like to wear black, which is very frustrating in the winter because they all wear black coats. The streets are dimly lit, and I'm driving, and I can't see anybody. There's quite a lot of danger in that. There's a lot of car accidents and things that pedestrians that get hit. And I try to tell them, I guess, guys, buy a different color jacket, please. But even mine, it was red and gray, and it wasn't actually that bright at night, so I wasn't the perfect example, but I got away from black at least. So I was trying to show them and tell them about being a little safer with that. And right before we left here this year, they threw us, our friend Jessica gathered all of our friends, or many of our friends, and threw us a surprise party as a going away party. And it was great, as a lot of people got to come up and say a few words and just how it was nice to be together in our lives together. But and so we have here people from different churches. People from not even all are Christians here, but people from different churches, people from different groups that we met. So we have people from floorball and English programs and people from the village in Nikolaipolia and people from all over the place. And so it's just really cool to have them all come together and celebrate with us as our time in Ukraine was up. And this was us this summer. So I figured I started off with a photo with us 7 years ago. I might as well finish with one of us now. And so us this summer, we got to go to the mountains in the west of Ukraine, and it was a wonderful time. We got to go there with a youth group that we had connected with from Molochansk, which is where it's in the where the Molochna colonies were, and it's sort of the place where they still have a Mennonite center. And so the Mennonite church there, we were very connected with, and we always took a good opportunity to connect with their youth. And so we all went together. We took the train and we all went to the mountains together and stayed in a little, I don't know what you'd call it. I'd say chalet, but you'd probably picture something much nicer than we stayed in. So we stayed somewhere in something between a house and a tent. And so we had a really good time with them, where we got to sing God's praises every day. We got to worship. We got to see His creation and hike mountains. And we got to share, as both I and the pastor there led the youth group in Bible discussions every day. So that was a great opportunity. So I read Proverbs 3, 1 to 5. And I'll read 5 again, but I'll read 6 with it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and he will make your path straight. That's what we've been feeling this year, that even though we don't know what's next, trust him. Lean on him, not on our understanding, because he will, if we submit to him, and when he says to do something, you do it, he will make our path straight. In every experience in our life to this point, that has been absolutely true. I have no reason to doubt this, but it still is hard. It's still difficult when I want to be logical and say, no, this has to be next, or this, or this. And I feel God saying, no, that's not the way. Sometimes you have to just say, okay, I trust you, I'm going to go. And so when we worry and we say, what's going to happen, there's no need for it. We know from Psalms chapter 84, I'll read it, but if you'd like, you can find it. Psalms should be the easiest one to find. It's pretty big. Chapter 84, verse 3. There I go, throwing my paper. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Sounds familiar, probably, whether you've read it there or somewhere much more, maybe more common to what you've read. When I was thinking about these words, I was thinking not of Psalms, but I was thinking of Jesus' words. In Matthew chapter 6, the end of Matthew chapter 6, and in my Bible it has the header, Do Not Worry. Verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So I'm doing my best to listen to these words and not worry. But where are we now? Now we're here. I'm still technically with Youth for Christ, with Youth for Christ Canada. I have officially resigned and said, and we are in the last 3 months, this portion is a sabbatical for us. And so that is part of their protocol. That's what they want to do as missionaries come out of the field, give them a bit of a rest and time to reflect. And for us, this is a time to just very closely listen to God. What will be next? And I don't have the answers. I feel like I would fit very well within a Youth for Christ here in Manitoba, and so this is something I'm looking into. Next week I'll be going to a conference with Youth for Christ, as I do every year at this time, where I'll meet and talk with a lot of people from Youth for Christ across Manitoba and Saskatchewan, and be connecting with them and seeing what opportunities lie here. But something very important that... where did I read that? That was also in Proverbs. Something very important that I felt when reading Proverbs chapter 3. He said there, my son, do not forget my teaching, But keep my commands in your heart. This is verse 1. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humankind. For me, this faithfulness never leaving me, binding it around my neck, writing it on a tablet of my heart. This happens when I spend time with God. So for me, it's very important. And in Ukraine, I had a very good sort of schedule to my day, and I was very blessed to do so, where I didn't have anything up in the morning. Working with youth in most places, you don't really do much in the morning. They're either in school or they're sleeping. So in the morning, I could wake up, I could do something that was very enjoyable to me, and that was have a cup of coffee or two or three, and read the Word and spend time with God. And so that would be praying and reading and just asking God what He would have for us. And I will do my best to continue that. When you move, when you go to a different place, sometimes your schedule gets a little messed up. You think, okay, how am I going to do this? Whether you're, you know, working on during the week, and then the weekend comes along, it might be a different type of style of day for you, and you think, how am I going to do this now? But the importance to finding time with God is so huge. It's so important, because that's how we do these things. That's how we listen to God. That's how we hear His voice. And through His Word, we're going to be guided. Yes, Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts and our minds, and you'll hear that. But very often, it comes through His Word here. And so that's something that we will continue to do, and I'm always reminded to do. And following Him, listening to Him, I spoke that to my guys, Stas, Andre, Philippe, and others, and something that I was very much reminding them about every time we met here in this last few months, because I knew for them, they depended on somebody else reading the Word to them. They depended on somebody else teaching it to them. Often that was me, not only me, but sometimes, you know, other pastors and people around them. And I said, those can be good places, but when you want to become close to Christ, when you want to become close to anyone for that matter, you spend time with them. And so I've probably shared this here before, but I shared it with them a lot. I shared it with them quite a bit. That if you want a relationship with God, it would be much like if you had a relationship with somebody close to you. For me, a great example is with my wife. If I want to have a great relationship with her, I spend time with her. And so in order to know her, I talk with her. I have conversations with her. I ask her many questions. She asks me questions. I answer them. If we didn't talk, we wouldn't know each other very well. We might know each other's actions, but we wouldn't know each other very well. That would be a pretty sad relationship, I think. And that's what it boils down to with God as well. Because if you want to know God very well and you want to know His will for you in your life, you have to spend time with Him. And so I would always be reminding these guys, this is not, in order to know God, you're not just going to a pastor. That's very much like the Orthodox tradition there, that you have to go to the priest to know anything, to ask any questions, to be forgiven. But we don't have to do that. We know that, right? We have the awesome ability with Holy Spirit in us that we get to speak to God anytime, any day. And so we get to speak to Him directly, and we get to read His Word at any point in time. And when we want to know what He wants us to be like, well, look to the Word. We get to read the gospel, see what Jesus did. If you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. He teaches us. He shows us what we need to do. But we need to go to that place ourselves. So just like I told my guys in Ukraine, I now have to remind myself. I need to look to myself and say, God, or Steve, spend your time. Make your schedule. That's what works for me. I'm a schedule-oriented guy. I like to do this and this and this. But find your time, even if you're not like that, if you're not a schedule-oriented person, you still find time every day to spend time with God, because you're probably going to find time every day to spend time with, you know, your wife or husband or your friend or somebody else. And if you want to know God as well as them, you got to spend time with them. And so I will continue to connect to those guys in Ukraine. I'm going to continue to be messaging them and calling them and do my best to help them and remind them and encourage them. But they know that if they want to have that relationship with God, it's going to be up to them, just like it's up to each and every one of us. So at this time, I'm praying a lot. God, show us what's next, because I want to know. I want to know what's next, and I very much think it's coming, and He's going to show us. But no matter what we do, we're missionaries. We want to serve God. We want to do that with all of our heart, with all our mind, and all our soul. And we want to do that always, not just for a day, a week, or a year, or these last 7 years and be done. We've dedicated our life to that. And so we ask you to continue praying with us and for us, that we may hear His voice and have a clear call. But we will be sure to be with you guys here in weeks to come in church, and I will share with you if any big revelation comes my way. So let me pray, and I'll be done. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you that we get to be here together, and that you gave me this awesome opportunity to just share the things that you were doing through us in Ukraine. I ask that you continue to be with all of those people I mentioned in Ukraine, that they still need you. They need your presence. They need your voice. They need your Holy Spirit to be with them. And I ask that you be with all the guys who've committed their life to Christ, and that they may serve you more and more every day. I ask that you also be with the ones that have decided not to serve you at this moment. And I ask that you continue to speak to them and remind them how good you are and how much you love them. And that that you may use us to still connect to them and remind them of that also. I ask that you be with all of us here today, that we may remember this important thing of spending time with you, God. That we may spend time in your word, reading your word, and speaking with you, God, praying to you, singing your praises, and just getting to know you better. We know that you know us perfectly. You know everything about us, even the things that we're confused about. But we need to know you better. And so I ask that you remind us every day, that you challenge us, and you put us in a position where we can remember to do that, God. We love you, we worship you, and we praise your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.